We turn to our first reading from the Bible, from Psalm 91, reading verses 1 to 16, which can be found on page 456 of the Pew Bibles. Hear the word of God. Psalm 91, reading from verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke, to chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 783 of the Pew Bibles. This incident is one of the major turning points in Jesus' lifetime. And as we approach Easter, each week I'm going to pick a big key moment in Jesus' life. This is just after he's been baptized in the River Jordan, when the Spirit came down and shone upon him. Jesus goes off to the desert to face his first challenge in his ministry. Hear the word of God again. Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Today is the 25th of February. We are in a time zone we call Lent. Similar to Advent, which is the build-up to Christmas, Lent is the build-up to Easter. Well, Advent is the anticipation and celebration of the birth of Jesus. Lent is more commonly seen as a time of solemn observance and personal preparation for the death and resurrection of Christ. From its start on Ash Wednesday until its conclusion on Easter Sunday, Lent has been a traditional time for fasting, for giving something up. However, these days, Christians around the world observe Lent in many ways. A new trend that has surfaced over the last few years has been to do something positive rather than something negative. Instead of giving something up, do something for the benefit of someone else on each of the 40 days of Lent. 40 acts of kindness, 40 acts of mercy, 40 acts of forgiveness, 40 acts of love. The more traditionalist amongst us still choose to give up a temptation, an item of luxury such as chocolate, alcohol, iron brew, watching TV, or in this age of the internet, social media. Could you give something up? Is your willpower strong enough? The problem with giving something like that up is that just as soon as we decide to give it up, the desire to do it seems to grow. And the longer we resist, the greater the temptation to taste it becomes. I wonder how easily you are tempted to sin. Many years ago, the youths of North American Indian tribes would go off alone to prepare for manhood. One such youth hiked into a beautiful green valley with trees and bright flowers, and there he fasted. But on the third day, as he looked up at the surrounding mountains, he noticed one tall, rugged peak capped with dazzling snow. "I will test myself against that mountain," he thought. And he put on his buffalo hide shirt, threw his blanket over his shoulders, and set off to climb the peak. When he reached the top, he stood on the rim of the world. He could see forever, and his heart was swelled with pride. Then he heard a rustle at his feet, and looking down, he saw a snake. Before he could move, the snake spoke. "I'm about to die," said the snake. "It's too cold for me up here, and I'm freezing. There is no food, and I'm starving. Put me under your shirt and take me back down to the valley below." "No," said the youth. "I am forewarned. I know you're kind. You are a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you will bite me, and your bite will kill me." "Not so," said the snake. "I will treat you differently. If you do this for me, you will be special. I will not harm you." The youth resisted for a while, but this was a very persuasive snake with beautiful markings. And eventually the youth tucked the snake under his shirt and carried it down to the valley far below. Then as he laid it gently on the grass,
Suddenly the snake coiled, rattled, and leapt, biting him in the leg. "But you promised," cried the youth. "You knew what I was when you picked me up," said the snake as it slithered away. More often than we care to admit, we know the danger we are getting into when we give in to temptation. It's as if we are made with an inbuilt warning device that sounds an alarm in our souls when temptation comes calling. The problem is, we don't want to hear the alarm. We subconsciously at times and deliberately at others reach over and switch the alarm off and give in to the temptation. Temptation is when you know that something is wrong, but you want to do it anyway. Temptation is seduction to evil, solicitation to do wrong. It stands distinguished from trial, as in trial tests, seeks to discover a person's moral qualities or character, but temptation persuades to evil, deludes that it may bring ruin. One means to undeceive, the other to deceive. One aims at a person's good, making them conscious of their true moral self, but the other at a person's evil, leading them more or less unconsciously into sin. What is temptation? John Piper says this about sin. Lust, for example, gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be more happy if I follow it. The power of all temptation is the prospect that it will make me happier. But temptation is not the problem. Temptation in itself is not a sin. We know that Jesus lived a life free from sin, and yet Jesus was tempted. The gospel tells us that Jesus heard a voice from heaven calling him God's son. Then at once he is tempted for 40 days in the desert. When you think about it, that passage is truly shocking. And it raises so many questions. Jesus is the Son of God. Surely he cannot be tempted. How could the Son of God be torn between good and evil? How could he want to do something he knew to be wrong? Surely God's Son is supposed to be above temptation, that most human of human weaknesses. In heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, could never be tempted, but Jesus became one of us. That's what's so wonderful about his love for us. He voluntarily came to earth, becoming human, fully human, and so subjected himself to all the confusing and contradictory desires and temptations that we mere mortals have to put up with. And he did it. Not just for 40 days, but for the whole of his life. The only thing different about Jesus and you and I was that he battled against his temptations, and unlike us, he won every time. In our reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the author gives us three examples of how the devil tempted Jesus. If Jesus had not wanted those things, then the devil could not tempt him with them. Turning stones into bread, ruling the world, and to know that God the Father would not allow him to be hurt. In other words, Jesus really wanted the bread. He wanted to be honored, and he wanted to feel safe. The devil offers these things to Jesus without any physical cost to Jesus, but he demands a spiritual one. If giving in to temptation involves compromising your principles and using immoral methods, those desires are the very devil within you. Yet, which one of us doesn't want the power to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, enjoy good food, be liked by others, live in a comfortable home where peace reigns, without debts, to wear nice clothes and have many long holidays? Many people wish for power, and not just to rule over others. Many wish for the power to set the world to rights, the power with just a word to cure all cancers, restore the minds of loved ones living with dementia, or a myriad of other illnesses that all too often blight the world that we live in. But if our power comes from treading on other people's shoulders and denying them their rights, that power turns us into tyrants. If we tend to the needs of the hungry but exploit the vulnerability of others, then our charitable work is besmirched. And popularity. If you want to be universally liked, you have to agree with everybody and never speak up for what's true and honest. Popular people soon lose their individuality, and with it departs their sense of right and wrong. You cannot please all the people all the time. No, we have to resist those temptations just as Jesus did. If all we have is won by hard work, well, that's all well and good. But if you give in to temptation to cheat and lie to achieve things, then your money and possessions turn you into a monster. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, he's painting an awfully dark picture this morning. And you would be right. For we have all given in to temptation. We have all sinned. But the truth of Christ is that it's not all doom and gloom. There is good news. Just as everyone who came into contact with Jesus, including all the disciples and apostles and all the heroes of the Bible that we elevate to in our minds to higher stations than our own, they had all sinned. They were all sinners. But Jesus came to save them, just as he comes to save you and me today. If we pray, Jesus will give us the strength we need to resist temptation. Lent is a time to put that into practice. Training ourselves to say no to little things, the chocolates, the hours in front of the television, instead spending time devoted to prayer, Bible study and healthy exercise makes us stronger when the big temptations come along. Everybody is tempted sometime, and you must be ready for the biggies before they hit you. There is nothing wrong in being tempted. Wanting to do wrong things is part of what makes us human. What we do need to feel guilty about is the number of times that we give in, the number of times we deliberately pick up the poisonous snake. Yet all is not lost. After the Iraq War, the Allied commanders were instructed to set up awakening councils, inviting Iraqis to cooperate in bringing peace to their province. A certain Colonel McFarland was asked why, among the men he invited to form the committee in his area, there were some who had taken part in attacks on the Allied forces. He replied, "I'm a product of Christian upbringing, and I was taught that every saint has a past and every sinner can have a future." Think about that. All of us have been tempted at one time or another. And all of us here, if we're honest with ourselves, have given in to that temptation. And that makes us sinners. We can do some things to help ourselves. Like, think about the place you're in when you give in to temptation. Well, don't go to that place. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you with when you usually sin? Avoid those people. There are two equally damning lies that Satan wants you to believe. The first one is, just once won't hurt. Just once. And the second one is, now that you've ruined your life, you are beyond God's use and might as well go on enjoying sin. Now that you've ruined your life, just carry on, because you're beyond God. But though your sin condemns you, there is hope, because every sinner has a future, and that future lies in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who stepped down from heaven in perfection to live as one of us, the one who never gave in to temptation but remained true to his calling, a calling that led to the crossroads of Easter, a road to death for Jesus, a road to eternal life for us. Every sinner can have a future because Jesus paid the debt our giving into temptation warranted. We have a future we don't deserve because Jesus loves us enough to die for us. That's what Easter is all about. So, as you journey towards Easter, think twice before you give in to temptation. Think once for what you're giving in will do to yourself. Think twice for what it will cost Jesus. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we don't like to be told we're sinners. We don't like to admit that we give in to temptation. But if we're true to ourselves, we know the truth of the statement. And we know in our hearts that temptation is so enticing. We so desire those things. But Lord, you have told us anything that takes us away from you will lead to sin and eternal death. And you have promised that you will help us. So when that temptation comes calling, when we feel that drawing us away from you, give us the courage to give you space in our lives, to hear your voice, and the strength to resist. Through the power of Jesus, we ask. Amen.